Welcome, brave listeners, to Wilhelm Presents Frightening Tales. Please tune in to FrightingTales.com for more scary stories. Frequently, I will share with you classic tales, much like Sleepy Hollow, in an effort to keep them from dying in the public mind, as it were. In a similar effort, I also look for authors of frightening content that have since passed on, and I share their tales in an effort to breathe new life into those old bones, as it were. That brings us to today's tale, Papa Gumbo, written by Ron Goulart. Ron has written dozens of novels and countless short stories spanning genres. Today's short story was one of many submitted to several pulp magazines over the years. You can find more of Ron's writing at your local bookstore.
He's probably still in that swamp someplace. Alive, I mean. And just hiding. Eventually, he's bound to come out into the open again. The production company issued a small and mostly unheeded press release about Bernie Callender a few days ago. They claim he took a leave of absence to fulfill a long-time ambition to travel to Europe. No mention of his trip into the Louisiana swamplands, or of what he was really doing there. Bernie first discussed Point Bayou and all the rest of it with me less than 2 weeks ago. He'd called me very early at home, even more excited than usual, and insisted I meet him for breakfast at home cooking. An immaculate restaurant some 2 blocks from my advertising agency on Wilshire. He was there ahead of me, copy of Daily Variety open in front of him, bouncing on the blue leatherette of the booth bench.
Car trouble?
Automatically, I checked my watch. I'm right on time, I said, sitting. Move a little to the left, or you'll get a terrific gust from the air conditioning, Bernie advised. I sat on your side for a while and just about got frostbite. Have you seen this? He was jabbing at an item in the trade paper. Reaching into my jacket pocket for my reading glasses, I said, Is that what you...
I'll read it to you, he offered.
Nick Nebb, 24, Oscar-winning director of Gonna Get Your Mama, admitted today that although he managed to spend $26 million on his new film, Saddle Sore, he seems to have only 106 feet of film in the can.
I don't know, quips the youthful super director. It's rained a lot on location and I've been doing probably too many drugs. But not to worry.
Studio execs expressed nothing but confidence in Neb, saying that eventually the epic, starring sensational newcomer Brooks Mutt, 17, and former service station attendant Brute Aperins, 19, will more than justify Neb's $100,000 per week salary. And... But why go on? Aren't you still assistant producer on Odd, Isn't It? I asked as I picked up the menu. What does a screw-up over at Paragon have? Or how about this? Going from grade school to superstardom is what 10-year-old sexpot Bobby Boone Raffles doing. Studio execs announced they'd signed the sultry preteen at a rumored salary of $150,000 per week to play the nymphomaniacal snake goddess in... Bernie sighed and wadded up the variety and dropped it into the darkness under our table.
Don't you see the motif? Youth. Youth is taking over the world. Youth is getting the bucks. Life is passing me by.
You're only 31,
32. Last Wednesday.
Well, happy birthday.
Sure, it's easy for you to kid around, he said. You're over 50 and making $150,000 a year in that sellout advertising job of yours. You've got a passable wife.
I'm 48, I told him. And my wife happens to be an ex-fashion model. And my salary is nowhere near.
What'll it be?
A tanned and muscular blonde waitress, pencil poised over pad, was standing beside our table.
Just a coffee, I said.
Bernie opened his menu, frowning, bouncing on his seat as he deliberated.
I guess I'll have the home cooking breakfast number one. That's burnt toast, bad coffee, spoiled cream, and eggs.
How do you want your eggs?
Undercooked or over?
Over.
When she was gone, I asked him, are you having trouble with your girl?
See, even you use age-oriented term. Gray Willoughby is 27. She's a woman.
She's still living with you?
He ceased bouncing.
Well, what we have now is a time-sharing setup, he said.
Forlorn.
Gray is only my part-time live-in love these days.
Who's sharing her?
He made a spitting noise before replying.
Dirk Smuts.
But it's mostly a work-related sort of thing. Tied in with her job, in a way.
Smuts syndicates a lot of game and variety shows, doesn't he?
Stuff like the Wretched Amateur Hour and Date with a Misfit.
He's got a new one in the works,
Bernie said quietly.
Gonna be called Strange, isn't it?
It sounds close to your odd, isn't it?
It's a complete and absolute swipe. That youthful twerp ripped off our network idea and has sold a half-hour version to 267 independent television stations. Worse, he signed Gray to be co-host.
That means she...
Are you television execs?
Asked the waitress as she set down our cups of coffee.
No, I answered.
Because I'm actually a stunt woman, just working here temporarily.
The big blonde explained.
My specialty is jumping through plate glass windows.
Bernie glanced nervously at the restaurant's front window and the brightening street beyond.
No additions now, please.
Keep me in mind. Name's Luella Kehoe. Agenting myself.
She returned to the kitchen.
Too old. 30 at least,
Bernie observed.
She's washed up.
I have to be getting back to the agency for a meeting. On our new beer account, so... He leaned towards me.
You? Which is ludicrous yet true, are about the only trustworthy person I know in all of Greater Los Angeles, he said. Somehow, even though you're devoted your life to crass commercialism, you've maintained a dubious honesty. I know I can safely confide in you.
If it's about Gray and Smuts, maybe.
Know how old he is? 22. Imagine, the only woman I have ever truly cared for, a woman with legs that had given erection to a eunuch, cohabitating with a guy who's still worried that his acne may come back. It's demeaning.
You ought to consider.
I'm going to do something unethical,
Bernie confided, stirring his coffee.
In all my years in Hollywood, I've always been honest and upright, which I now realize is why I've reached the venerable age of 32 and remain a monumental loser.
Don't tell me any plans you may have for robbing or murdering or...
This is really only a betrayal of confidence,
He lowered his voice and absently began tapping his right fist against his chest like a penitent at confession. The ratings have been slipping. On odd, isn't it? We peaked about 6 weeks ago when, on the same show, the two-headed baby returned to take his first steps right in our studios, and the fire eater accidentally set his hair ablaze. We climbed to second spot on the list, doing even better than we did with a show where we buried Omar the Mystic alive. And that was the time he insisted on getting out of the glass coffin to go to the John 5 minutes after we buried him in.
Do you have a line on some new act for the show?
Not an act, no.
He shook his head.
This is the real thing. Except, to get it, well, I sort of have to double-cross and betray Gray. See, since she started living in two places, sometimes messages meant for her at Schmutz's mansion in Bel Air come to my cottage in Westwood. So the other day, when a registered special delivery came from Louisiana for her, and she was over at his place, I opened it.
Some kind of tip on something for Schmutz's. Strange, isn't it? Bernie nodded.
Getting a sensational thing like this on our show will goose us right up into the number one spot, he said, bouncing. It'll make my job more secure and mean a nice bonus for finding this thing. I need something like this about now to hold on to.
Even though it means keeping the information from the woman I dote on. I can't really advise you on a moral decision like this, I said, after taking another sip of my vile coffee. What sort of attraction is it? Bernie drew even closer, eyes flashing with excitement.
I know where we can get, he announced in a hushed tone, an absolutely authentic zombie.
Just one day after my breakfast meeting with the perplexed Bernie, the agency sent me to Enid, Oklahoma, to do some troubleshooting on our new beer account. From the moment our client told us he wanted to introduce a new truly German beer, I'd been worried. Some of the higher-ups in my agency felt that the current wave of interest in certain kinds of espionage movies, novels, and television shows had broken ground for such a product. But I simply didn't believe anything called Nazi beer was going to sell. As soon as the television commercials began airing in Oklahoma, there was trouble. Within a week, a group of locals were staging a Hitler Youth rally in the high school gym and promising a march. I flew out there and to try and, well, come up with some new advertisements that would defuse the situation, well, somewhat. That took nearly a week, and then a woman came forth claiming that after drinking a six-pack of Nazi beer, her Irish husband had found he could speak nothing but German. She threatened a lawsuit. By the time I returned to Los Angeles, Bernie was already in Point Bayou, Louisiana. He'd left a message with my wife, and later managed to phone me once from the swamp country. What I'll be telling you from here on is based on that, and on some speculation of my own. Bernie's desire for more success in life must have overcome his loyalty to and desire for the stunning Gray Willoughby. He never told her that one of the strange isn't it scouts had located a real zombie in the swamp country near the little Louisiana town of Point Bayou. No, instead he took the tip to the head producer of Odd, Isn't It? He was hoping his boss would let him journey alone into the South to negotiate for the zombie and bring it back to Hollywood for an appearance on their show.
Are you stock raving nutso, schmuck?
Inquired Paul Moonbaum when Bernie had informed him about the zombie and made his request. Moonbaum was tall, handsome, sun-browned, and only a few months beyond his 27th birthday. Everything in his vast office was made of teak wood.
You've gotta be suffering from severe brain damage, Putz, if you think I'm gonna allow a runny nose like you to go schlepping into the swamps alone after something this important.
He shot to his feet, leapt over his teakwood desk, and took hold of Bernie's shoulders.
Ow,
said Bernie. The youthful producer performed this stunt often, and there were tender spots.
I only figured that you'd... Figuring isn't your job, dim bulb. I figure. You do my bidding.
I was hoping, Paul, you'd bid me to go to Louisiana, locate this Papa Gumbo guy, and make a deal with him for the exclusive use of his zombie. I took a few business administration courses at USC and...
USC can kiss my rump,
observed Moonbaum, releasing Bernie's shoulders.
This is big, schmucko. I'm proud that your feeble little brain enabled you to sense what a boost the appearance of a zombie will do to our already astonishing ratings on Odd.
He was doing some of his double-time pacing across his teak-colored carpeting.
And as for that bimbo you dwell with, I appreciate the way you've knifed her in the back and swiped this hot idea. But enough of you and your sleazy love life. Arrange to have one of our Learjets whisk us off to this Point Bayou no later than mañana morning.
You're going?
We're going. You and I,
explained Moonbaum, circling his desk.
Plus Gonzalez. Gonzalez? You find it odd I intend taking an award-winning cameraman on this zombie hunt? Don't you remember the Sacco footage we got when he helped me track down that family of pinheads in Mentor, Ohio?
He sat, rubbing his youthful-looking hands together.
We'll get at least 4 minutes of great stuff of us just looking for this zombie. Another 7 or 8 when we bring him to the studio.
I hadn't thought about that.
Which is why I'm the honcho and you're the peon.
They approached the shack of Papa Gumbo at dusk on the following day. A ramshackle structure made of mismatched lumber and flattened-out metal barrels. It sat lopsidedly on the edge of a dismal stretch of swamp country. The shack lay 7 miles out from the nondescript town of Point Bayou. The road leading towards it was only 6.5 miles long.
There better be a zombie in this crap hole, Putz,
warned Moonbaum, as they trudged along the syrupy pathway towards the now visible house.
I have got about a quart of slush in my boots, along with what feels like a pair of toads in heat. Relax, Daddy,
soothed Gonzalez, his portable video camera resting on his shoulder and a pacified grin causing his bushy mustache to curl upwards at each end.
This is nature, for Christ's sake. Enjoy it.
Snarling, Moonbaum said,
I thought I told you to lay off doing drugs until I ain't on nothing, man.
The long, lean Gonzalez assured him.
I got a knack for achieving a oneness, man, with nature. Yow!
Said Bernie.
Oh, what?
Growled his boss. A snake looked at me from out of those rushes over there.
It's all part of God's plan, man,
said Gonzalez. Some noise began to reach them from the shack. It came spilling and sprawling through the humid, misty twilight. An out-of-tune guitar accompanied some off-key singing. Lemme mash your potatoes, mama. I say lemme mash them things for you. 'Cause I has got the best tato masher in this town.
I hope that's not our zombie, said Moonbomb.
There wasn't any mention in the letter I intercepted about his musical ability, said Bernie.
But I should think that if a dead man could play the guitar and sing even a little, people would be. Lemme grind your meat, baby. Lemme grind that meat for you. 'Cause I has got a good meat grinder, too. At least it rhymes.
Moonbomb climbed the rickety, sway-back wooden porch of the voodoo man's shack and knocked forcefully on the weather-beat door.
Lemme boil your cabbage, mama. Lemme...
A rocking chair whanged. Feet sounded on wood planks. And then the door creaked open a few inches.
Ah, the gentleman's from the television industry. I's been expecting you.
Papa Gumbo was an immense black man of 60 years or more. He wore a threadbare blue suit coat over a pair of faded overalls. When he smiled, the gold crowns of his upper canines blinked.
Oh, do come in. Do come in. How'd you know we were coming?
Moonbomb wiped a spattered boot on the porch and stepped into the shack.
Why, I be the seventh son of a seventh son, the black man explained. I nothing can keep hid from me. Sometimes, though, I gots to go into a little trance to find things out.
Gingerly, Bernie followed the grinning Gonzalez across the threshold. The parlor of the cabin was illuminated by two oil lamps, one sitting on a lame table and the other on an empty oil drum. There were shelves on three of the walls, loaded with jars and tins. In the misty liquid of some of the fruit jars, Bernie could make out what looked like the innards of animals. And on the top shelf, to his left, a row of what seemed to be skulls grinning at him.
That one's a monkey on the end, said Papa Gumbo to Bernie. I were quite fond of him.
Moonbomb was glancing around the room.
If you knew we were coming, Mr. Gumbo, then you maybe know why we... Oh, I does, except Mr. Swope ain't to home now.
Mr. Swope?
That's the onliest name I ever knowed him by.
The conjure man explained.
He killed himself out in the swamp. Oh my, it must have was 10 years ago at least. They brung him to me and say, his poor dead Mr. Swope. He ain't got no kin. And if you wants him, take him.
Chuckling, Papa Gumbo settled into his rocking chair.
See, gentlemen's, I got the gift straight from Damballa, and he be one of the most powerful lowers they is. When they done give me Mr. Swope, I waits until a Thursday. 'Cause that's the best day I gets exactly what you wants out of Damballa. And then I brung him back to life.
Just like that?
Oh, there was a whole lot of stuff you gotta do, he replied. 'Cause no ritual is gonna work if you ain't got the power, which I does.
Gonzalez grinned appreciatively, was circling the older man and captured him on videotape. Bernie, trying not to see what was floating in the jars nearest him, asked,
When do you expect Mr. Swope back?
Oh, he's been powerfully restless of late.
Papa Gumbo nodded to himself. Might be he knowed company was coming, special company, not just the local folks that come here to buy jujus.
This zombie is wandering around loose?
Moonbomb crossed to a boarded-up window.
Oh, he always come home just like a hound dog, explained the voodoo man. One thing I best explain, gentlemen, is that Mr. Swope, he ain't very bright in the head no more. Seem like something about dying do that to them. He don't hardly talk no more and take much of an interest in nothing. Might be he won't be so good for television programs.
He's dead, isn't he?
Moonbomb crossed the slanty floor to him.
Oh my, as dead as ever you can get to be.
And he's walking upright and walking around?
Oh, he don't hardly never sit down.
Rubbing his youthful hands together, Moonbomb said.
Then he's exactly what we need. Soon as we see him, we'll make a deal, Mr. Gumbo.
Papa Gumbo laughed, his gold crowns flashing in the lamplight.
Well, we's gonna talk about money before you ever sees him, gentlemen's.
The zombie returned at dawn. Gonzales, a contented smile spread across his face, was asleep, sitting on the floor with his camera cradled in his lap and his back against the clapboard wall. Bernie, wide awake, was huddled directly under a rickety shelf loaded with jars containing pickled toads and snakes. Moonbomb was pacing and the Conjure Man was rocking in his chair in the center of the room, playing and singing.
Let me curry your pony, mama. Let me comb that mane for you, 'cause I is.
He left off singing, placed his guitar carefully aside, and stood.
Oh, we got company, Mr. Swope.
The door swung open with a low wailing sound. Thin morning mist came swirling in across the warped wooden flooring. A thick smell of damp and decay floated in with it. The man who had pushed the shack door open came shambling in. He was a lean black man and must have been 50 when he died. He wore a shiny black suit and a checkered cap, and his dusty-looking skin was laced with fine wrinkles. His mouth hung slightly open. His lips were gray and cracked. Beneath his eyes, which stared like a blind man's, lay half moons of deep shadow. He said.
Oh, my, he's real happy to see you, Zoll,
interpreted Papa Gumbo, moving to his creation's side. Said Mr. Swope, holding out his hand to Mr. Moonbomb. The youthful producer hesitated only a second before shaking it.
Jesus, he's cold as a cocktail olive.
Being dead is why,
said Papa Gumbo, Moonbomb asked.
Can I listen to his chest?
Surely, but you won't hear no heartbeat.
Bernie, the hair at the back of his neck erect, eased over to nudge Gonzales awake.
Get some of this,
he whispered.
Okay, Daddy.
Gonzales yawned and aimed his camera at the zombie.
Oi,
murmured Moonbomb, his right ear pressed to the dead man's candy-striped shirt.
Not so much as a pit-a-pat.
Those morons who watch our show are gonna love this guy.
I told you it would be a nice attraction,
put in Bernie. Papa Gumbo said,
Now, gentlemen, we best drop them final papers.
He dug at the corner of his eye with a knuckle.
I's gonna miss Mr. Swope. Why, we been together a very longest time.
We'll give him a good home,
promised the producer, stepping clear of the
Zombie. Vuh, said Mr. Swope.
He like you, said the voodoo man. He sense you. Bako, Bakozaka, Basu, Twa Corns.
He pressed his big hands flat over the bib of his overalls.
What the hell is it? Asked Moonbomb.
The black man was swaying, eyes nearly shut.
Bad things, he murmured.
Moaned Mr. Swope.
Be specific,
suggested the producer.
Bad people leaving Point Bayou right now. I can see it in my head, said the quivering Papa Gumbo. They got guns and lawyers gonna take Mr. Swope away from us.
That's gotta be smuts in your lady love,
realized Moonbomb with a scowl at Bernie.
Their scout must have alerted them that we're beating them their time. Let's get back to our jet and blast off with Mr. Swope.
No, cautioned Papa Gumbo. Dumbala say don't do that. There is somebody watching your airplane, too.
After one quick pace around the creaking cabin floor, Moonbomb asked,
Where's the nearest train station?
Why, that's gotta be Pittman City, answered the Conjure Man. And ain't got nobody waiting there.
Nodding with decision and determination, Moonbomb pointed straight at Bernie.
Okay, Putz, here's the game plan, he announced. Gonzalez and I'll stick here and keep this schmutz from getting his hands on our zombie. Meantime, you take Mr. Swope to our rent-a-car, then use that side road supposed to lead to Pittman City. Now you get him on the first train out and then to an airport that isn't with this nitwish parish. Charter a plane, fly him to Hollywood, and keep him under guard at the studio till we get back.
The zombie? You want me to escort a zombie across the country? Just as though we were a...
You bet ya buns I do. Get going.
He tossed him the car keys. They jingled as they spun through the air towards Bernie.
I'd just as well stay here and let Gonzalez do the escorting.
Said
the zombie. Papa Gumbo shook his head.
Mr. Swope got his mind made up, gentlemen's, he explained. He want a smock to take him.
This much of the story I got from Bernie when he phoned earlier that evening, from a drugstore in East Delano, Louisiana. I can't hear you too well, Bernie, I told him when he'd gotten that far. I've been on the rumpus room watching a videotape of the Masterpiece Theater presentation of The Mask of Fu Manchu that my wife had made for me while I was in Oklahoma. Possibly I was a little impatient with Bernie. I'm getting a lot of background noise from your end.
I know. That tittering, guffawing, and muttering, he said, making his voice louder. There's no door on this nitwit booth, and all the rubes and yokels in this seedy pharmacy are gawking and yapping.
Why should they be tittering, guffawing, and muttering about?
Because I only have one shoe on, he answered, even louder. I am also covered from head to toe in swamp life. Marsh flowers, ferns, and weeds all festoon me. My natty Italian suit is in tatters and I'm bespattered with muck.
Why?
Did you ever try to catch a zombie in a swamp?
Nope, I admitted. But I thought you said you two were traveling by train.
Listen, Mr. Swope may be a novelty to the thickwicks who gawk at Odd Isn't It on the tube, but around here they all know him, said Bernie. When I got him to the damn station in Pittman City, they wouldn't sell us the tickets unless I put him in the baggage car. Not wanting to leave him out of my sight, I rode in the baggage car too. Some very unbright fat lady in the next town was getting three very excitable cats shipped to her. and when we stopped there, I had a sort of frumus with her and her idiot husband as to why the cat's hair was standing on end.
And why was it?
Because, he shouted. Cats apparently can't stand zombies. Drives them absolutely zany. While I was dealing with their complaints, Mr. Swope, well, he went for a walk.
In the swamp?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of swamps hereabouts. This one he picked was especially lush. I took off after him, caught sight of him once, and then lost him. At first I was hoping he was going to make his way back to Papa Gumbo's until I heard this funny sound.
What sort of sound?
An enormous lip smacking. I ran as best as he can in the swamp, fell a couple of times in ponds and cesspools, or whatever they call them. And then I finally came across a big, mucky-looking patch of ground, and sitting right in the middle of it was a checkered cap.
Bernie's voice was full of sadness and regret.
Anyway, I'm certain as I can be without risking my neck further, that the zombie stepped into the quicksand and sank without a trace. Except for his half-wit cap.
So, what do you plan to do next?
Buy a new pair of shoes, he replied. Then I have to go back to Papa Gumbo's and face the music.
If Moonbomb is still there,
it could be that the zombie just tossed his cap in the pool of gunk to be cute.
Zombies don't have that much sense of humor.
I know. But if there's a chance he returned to the shack, I have to get a hold of him again. Maybe I can save my job.
Have you thought about simply quitting?
Only losers quit. Bye.
He hung up. And that was the last I ever heard of him. This is almost certainly what happened when he got back. Night had long since fallen. Owls were calling in the swamp, frogs croaked. A muddy jeep was parked in front of the voodoo man's old shack. While Bernie was trudging up onto the porch, the disreputable door was yanked open.
Okay, Putz, let's have your whole pathetic story, demanded Moonbomb.
Limping because of the farm shoes he was wearing, Bernie moved closer to his boss.
How'd you know I...
I feeled it, said Papa Gumbo from his squeaky rocker. Once poor Mr. Swope got himself sucked down into the quicksand, I knowed it.
Couldn't we dredge him out?
Suggested Bernie as he came shuffling into the cabin.
Since he's already dead, we...
Swamps don't give nothing back, the conjure man shook his head.
Honestly, Bern, can't you do anything right?
He jerked his head to the left. There was Gray Willoughby, absolutely gorgeous, in a spotless white desert suit, perched in a canvas chair that hadn't been there when he'd left. Next to her, standing with arms folded, was dapper little Dirk Smuts. Bernie said.
I guess I owe you an
Just tell me, schmuck, cut in his boss. If what Mr. Gumbo says is true, did you really let that priceless zombie sink into the bog?
I wasn't an eyewitness, explained Bernie. But I really think he must have, especially if Papa Gumbo's been having twinges and all.
Oh, he done gone, confirmed Papa Gumbo.
Relax, it's okay, advised Gonzales,
who was half asleep against the far wall.
One simple dead man to deliver, said Moonbomb, pacing. I should have handcuffed him to you.
Bernie was edging towards his part-time love.
I'm sorry if it looks as though I betrayed you, Gray. It was only because...
Skip it, she said,
with a dismissive wave of one beautiful hand. This new deal would have made up for all of your rotten sneakiness.
What deal?
Smut's Mega Productions gets exclusive syndicated television rights to the zombie, explained Smuts in his piping little voice. Moonbomb Productions gets exclusive network rights. Everyone would have prospered, except...
except you went and lost him.
A frown touched Gray's flawless forehead.
Really, Burn? How dopey. You're supposed to be rivals,
Bernie said bitterly.
But while I was out, risking life and limb in the bogs and fens, you were all making some kind of shady...
What difference does it make now?
Piped Smuts.
There's no zombie.
Wait.
Moonbomb stopped pacing.
A zombie will boost the odd, isn't it, ratings. And a zombie will get dozens of new indies to book Strange, Isn't It. Therefore... we have to have a zombie.
He spun, poking a finger at Papa Gumbo.
Can you make us a new one?
Papa Gumbo chuckled.
Once you got the power of Dumbala, you never lose it, he replied. Sure, I can whip up a brand new zombie for you, gentlemen and lady. Only snag is that, well, I got to have a dead body.
Moonbomb nodded his head rapidly.
This is an emergency, he said. We need the zombie soonest. But first, we have to provide a corpse.
It took Bernie almost 10 seconds to realize that his boss was looking directly at him. In fact, they all were. Before one of them could make a move, he pivoted and went galloping out the shack as best he could in his tight new shoes. They might catch him on the road, so he headed straight into the swamp. Bernie stumbled, fell, got up, and kept plodding on until he was sure he'd shaken off all pursuit. Eventually, in a few more days, when he was certain it was safe, he'd come out. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping. But in case Bernie doesn't return and get in touch with me, I'm going to start watching the Odd Isn't It broadcasts, especially if they announce that they'll be featuring a zombie.
Thank you, brave listeners, for being daring enough to make it this far through another frightening tale.
You've been listening to Papa Gumbo, written by Ron Goulart.
If you're as attached to frightening tales as I am, then please spread the word and share frightening tales with others. Through your support, I can reach more brave listeners, and with analytics like that, it'd be incredibly difficult for the king himself to not want to share a story with us. Until then, do tune in again next Friday for another frightening tale, if you're brave enough.